Translators give us access to the books and movies of other cultures. But what are we missing when we read the translation of Crime and Punishment? And what are Europeans missing when they see dubbed versions of Woody Allen movies? Linguist Jeffrey Nunberg has some thoughts on the art of translation.
My friend Letizia earns her living translating English language books and movies into Italian, usually for pitiful fees and under imminent deadlines. When I lived in Rome, she used to call me at odd hours with queries about words that she couldn't find in the dictionary. I remember when she was translating the script of the movie True Confessions, which was thick with 1940s police jargon. The Italians do these films with overdubbing, not subtitles. One night, we spent an hour looking for an Italian equivalent for slasher that had exactly two syllables, so the actor's lips and the soundtrack would stay in sync. Letizia's problem with slasher is an example of the most notorious difficulty that translators have to deal with when a word or phrase in the original language has no equivalent in the new one. What does an Italian translator do when she comes to Philip Roth's use of schlemiel in Portnoy's Complaint? If she's cautious, she could go with some rough equivalent like the Italian word for fool. But that loses the spice of the original and leads to that bland style that often makes translations read as if you're hearing the original text over a bad telephone connection. Or she can look for a colloquial equivalent in the new language. But that has its perils, too, because colloquial words can often sound comical in the mouth of a foreign character. There's a nice example in a passage from Francis Stiegmiller's translation of Madame Bovary, where Emma is coming to grips with her mounting frustration with her husband Charles. It reads, "She went into the hall, opened the window, and took a breath of fresh air to calm herself. It's pathetic," she whispered to herself, despair in her heart. "What a booby." But things aren't just lost in translation. Sometimes they're added, particularly when the new language forces the translator to say more than is explicit in the original. This is what translators like Letizia have to deal with when they render an English language book or movie into one of the European languages that makes a distinction between the familiar and formal ways of saying you. Italian does this with tu and lei, French with tu and vous, Spanish with tu and usted, German with du and sie, and so on. This means that every time somebody in an English language movie refers to somebody else as you, the translator has to make a decision about the social relationship between the characters. This may require some delicate switching. In the Italian version of Superman, Clark Kent addresses Lois Lane with a familiar tu. But when he changes to Superman, he uses the more formal pronoun lei, since Lois and the Man of Steel have a less intimate relationship. Of course, once Lois learns Clark's identity in Superman 2, he starts using the intimate form even in his Superman role. As a general rule, characters switch from formal to familiar address after their first kiss, but there are exceptions. In the Italian Casablanca, for example, Humphrey Bogart at first addresses Ingrid Bergman with a formal pronoun when she shows up in Rick's cafe, as if he doesn't want to acknowledge their earlier intimacy back in Paris. And for some reason, the Italian translator of Hitchcock's Vertigo has Jimmy Stewart addressing Kim Novak with a formal lei throughout the film, even in the second half when he's making love to her. In both cases, the choice of the pronoun lends a delicate nuance to the relationship, one that's only implicit in the English versions. It's a nice reminder of how a translation is always a particular interpretation of the original. There's a well-known Italian adage that goes, traduttore, traditore, translator, traitor. And yet sometimes what translators betray is the truth.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.